together all week last week. And it was great. But it's not as good as being together on the first day of the week. Because there's some special things about that. I want to especially welcome our visitors. And we've got a lot of folks visiting with us today, and we're very glad to have you with us, especially those from Texas. Okay, because I'm from Texas. Okay. We have been focusing on prayer and really looking at really trying to build this house into a house of prayer, a house of prayer to the Lord. And we've been looking at all kinds of different aspects of prayer and trying to really focus on how we can build and strengthen our relationship with God through prayer and through specifically praying the Scripture, so that we have a two-way communication going, where we're talking to God through our prayer, but we're also listening to what God has to tell us through His Word. And most recently, over the last bunch of weeks back, we've been really focusing intently on breaking down strongholds through prayer. That is, the things that Satan puts against us to try to pull us away from God, the things that he puts in our way to try to trap us and trip us and to get us to let go of our relationship with God. Last week, we've been talking about Vacation Bible School. Our whole theme for Vacation Bible School was Make War on the Floor. And that emphasizes also the realization that we are in the midst of spiritual warfare. That Satan is always working and attacking us and going after us because he wants those who belong to Christ, he wants them back. You see? And as we talked about just a little bit in our Bible class this morning, that spiritual warfare is taking place in the mind. You see? And so we spent a whole week on talking about making war on the floor, doing the battle that we do with Satan, mainly through prayer. Well, today, because it's also, a special kind of a weekend, tomorrow being the 4th of July, I thought what we would do is talk about praying for freedom. Okay? Praying for freedom. 235 years ago, tomorrow, July 4th, 1776, America declared her independence from Great Britain. But the war that began then, it lasted until 1783. And that's when we actually really gained our independence. You see, it's one thing to declare it. It's another thing to achieve it. You see? And so there was a long and bloody war that took place in order for that freedom to actually be gained here in America. We continue and need to continue to pray for freedom today. And I want to suggest to you, I think we do a lot of praying for freedom in the form of thanking God for the freedom that we have to worship God and a freedom of religious expression and all of those kind of things. But we're going to talk even more about freedom from sin this morning. We do need to continue to pray for our religious freedom because that is being threatened more and more every day here in America by those who want God out of any kind of public life whatsoever. There's an article that I read just Friday. There is an administrator at the Veterans Cemetery in Houston that has forbidden those who are leading funerals to have any mention whatsoever of God or Jesus or anything like that in their funeral ceremonies. And so those are the kinds of battles. That's just one example. There are battles going on every day in this country where those who would have God taken out of our lives are fighting, see, to take that freedom away from us. So we need to continue to pray for that freedom. Okay? And stop taking it for granted, because I think that's one of the things that we have done. Okay? We really, really do. We still have a long way to go in this country. But today, on July 3rd, we celebrate a different kind of freedom. Okay? Because it is the independence that we celebrate on the first day of every week. That's what we're here to do today. To worship God and celebrate our independence, you say, our freedom, if you will, from sin. Our freedom from Satan's bondage. That freedom that was bought by blood. That freedom that was purchased by the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And though the victory has been ensured, the battle still wages on. And thus, why we keep talking and reinforcing the fact that we are in the midst of spiritual warfare. We need to be continuing then to be praying for strength in the midst of our everyday battles and spiritual warfare that we're in. So let's talk about freedom and specifically praying for freedom today. Okay? If you look on your notes in the, that you have in the bulletin there, you see the first thing we want to talk about is being freed by blood. If you turn in your Bible to Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. Revelation, by the way, is that last book of the Bible. We don't go there very much, okay? Because, you know, it's kind of like, oh, that's a mysterious place and don't know, so I'll just avoid. That's the last book. It's not as scary as we oftentimes think it is, okay? Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, John, it says, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us, look at this, and has freed us from our sins by what? By his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. You see, here's an important statement that we need to understand, that it is because and only because and by the blood of Jesus that we have been freed from our sins. That's the means by which our freedom has been obtained. You say, and I want to suggest to you that throughout history, that most of the time, and the only reason I say most of the time is because there may be some time I'm not aware of, you see, where it didn't require blood, but most of the time, when freedom has been acquired, it has been acquired through the shedding of blood. And not only acquired, but it is maintained by the shedding of blood. Thomas Jefferson said, the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. You see, freedom is not typically something that is taken or given, and then that's it. That's all you have to do with it. It's something that has to be maintained. On and on and on and on. And if it's not maintained, then it will be lost. And it is blood that maintains that freedom. The writer of Hebrews in 9 and verse 22 says, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. You see, we have obtained our freedom from the bondage of sin through blood, through the blood of Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel speaking to Joseph in a dream, you see, telling him what he was to do about Mary, the fact that she had turned up pregnant, and he's trying to figure this out. Well, how did that happen? I know it wasn't me. The angel instructs Joseph in what he is to do and how to take care of her, and he says, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. You see, that's what it's all about, isn't it? It is about freedom from our sins. I enjoy the freedom that we have in America. Okay? And I boldly say, America, in my opinion, is the best place in the world to live because of the freedoms that we have. But the freedoms that we have here in America don't even come close in comparison to the freedom that we have in Christ through His blood.
Amen.
See? This freedom is only temporary. Okay? It's only temporary. And it's shaky right now. Okay? It's shaky. But the freedom we have in the blood of Christ is eternal. You see? It's eternal. It will never go away. But it has to be sustained by blood. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. John writes there, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, that is God, we have fellowship with one another. And then he says, and the blood of His Son Jesus purifies us from all sin. And as we've talked about that text many times here before, that the word for purifies in the original language is written in a tense that is an ongoing thing. As long as we are walking in the light, His blood continues to purify us. But it's His blood that does the purifying. Because freedom is sustained only by blood. See? That realization should cause us, see, to really, two things. Number one, to appreciate all of those who have gone before us and have bought our freedom originally and have sustained it by their blood. See? Since America was first established as an independent nation 235 years ago. But it also ought to cause us to appreciate even more the freedom that we have through the blood of Jesus that was bought for us over 2,000 years ago. And that blood continues to sustain our freedom. Okay? As long as we continue to walk in the light. But there's another aspect of this freedom we have to understand. Freedom comes by blood, but it is also reinforced and protected by words. Okay? By words. Just like the freedom that we have in America came by blood, he said. That is, those who fought and died in the Revolutionary War to give us this country that we have. That freedom also was supported by the words of the U.S. Constitution. Okay? And in like manner, the freedom that was bought by the blood of Jesus, okay, that freedom is reinforced by His very words. Okay? Look over in John chapter 8. And Jesus having it's more than a conversation. It's more of a confrontation, okay, that Jesus is having here with the religious leaders of His day. Okay? And in this conversation, Jesus says to the Jews who had believed in Him, they put their faith in Him, Jesus says, if you hold to My teachings, you are truly My disciples.
Yeah.
Then you will know the truth, and the truth will do what? It will set you free. You see? Truth is what sets people free. You see? Holding to the teachings of Jesus, you see, allows us to continue in that freedom. You see, Satan's game is to hold us captive by his lies. And he does such a great job. Doesn't he? He tells us all kinds of lies all the time. In order to get us back into His fold. But when we hold on to the truth, that is the truth of Jesus' teachings, say His Word, then that truth sustains us in our freedom. Okay? And so it's important, it's imperative that we focus on His words. You see? And what those words actually do for us in sustaining our freedom. Just like people today are arguing and fighting over the words of the U.S. Constitution, you see? And what does this mean? And what does that mean? And all of these arguments and these fights over our freedoms that the Constitution has given to us. People today are fighting over the words of Jesus. Oh, it says this. Oh, it means this. Or it doesn't really say that. And actually, Jesus didn't even say most of those things. Well, I know He did say it because they're written in red in my Bible. Okay? Now, we need to look at His Word and understand. That's the words of Almighty God. As we talked about a few weeks ago back, see, it's not just a matter of believing in Him, but it's a matter of believing Him. Do we believe His words? When we believe His words and we hold to them, then, as He says, we are free. You go down in this conversation, this confrontation, there are those who answered Him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Well, you know, they're thinking physical, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're thinking physical slavery to someone. And of course, Jesus is talking spiritually. See? And He goes on to say here, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever." Look at verse 36. "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Okay? If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We've got to continue to pray for strength and wisdom to hold to the teachings of Jesus. When you pray, include that if you don't already. Include that as part of your prayer. "God, give me the wisdom to understand Your will and to apply it to my life, so that I can live my life in Your freedom." But now, here's something that we have to keep in mind. Be careful what you ask for. Why? Because you just might get it. Okay? The same thing is true of this freedom. Okay? Same thing is true of this freedom. In Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, the Apostle Paul, there writing to the church in Rome, says, "But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin." Oh, wouldn't it be great if it stopped right there? But the next statement says, "and have become slaves to righteousness." Okay? You see, freedom isn't about the ability to do whatever I want to do. You see? Freedom isn't about what I want in life. And none of us really has the freedom to live and to do and to go wherever it is we want to go without some kind of responsibility and or consequences. And we have to understand that about freedom, because with freedom comes responsibility. We are free from sin, but we become slaves of righteousness or servants of righteousness. You see? Though we may be free from the one, we are called upon to serve the other. That's responsibility. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." And in 1 Peter 2, in verses 16 to 17, Peter there says, "Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God." You see, with that freedom comes responsibility, doesn't it? We have been called to be free, free from sin, but we've been given the responsibility to live according to the law of Christ, which automatically takes away the options of being able to live however we want to live and do whatever it is we want to do. There is a responsibility and there is an accountability. And we have to understand that as we continue to pray for freedom. In the text that was read for us as we began, Galatians chapter 5, in verse 1, there Paul's saying, "It is for freedom that God has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened by a yoke of slavery." Well, of course, the context of that is the law of Moses, that they have been set free from the law of Moses and are now under the law of Christ. So don't allow yourselves to be put back under that yoke of the law of Moses. But the principle is the same thing. We have been free from our sins and the bondage of Satan. We can no longer allow ourselves to be put back under that yoke of slavery, of sin. We've got to pray for the power that God has available to us. And that's one of the things we've been focusing on a lot this past week in our Vacation Bible School. Praying for the power that God has available to us. Power that will help us to live responsibly within God's Word. See? One of the things that we talked about a lot during that week is the Scriptures tell us we have a God who can do what? Immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. I like that. You see? We need to be praying for that kind of power. Because in the midst of spiritual warfare, we have to always remember, if we try to go against Satan on our own, we cannot win. But when we go against Satan with God's power, we cannot lose. Isn't that great? That's wonderful. See? That's what God offers to us. He offers His power, the power of the blood of His Son Jesus, to free us from the bondage of sin. And He offers us His continuing power to sustain us in that freedom through His Word. Now let me ask you this question. How free are you this morning? How free are you? Have you been freed initially by the blood of Jesus? That is, that you have accepted His blood to cleanse you of your sins. Have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism, calling upon Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you have, that freedom has been bought and it is yours. But you need to understand and remember that you are every day in the midst of warfare where Satan is wanting to take that freedom away from you. If there's something going on in your life, if that's where you are, that you're already a Christian, but you're struggling with some things that Satan has really got some strongholds against you, and some of these that we've talked about, some we're going to talk about as we continue this, then let us help you. You need prayers or guidance, instruction, whatever it might be. It's a great time, a great opportunity to let us know so we can help. For those who are here this morning who have not accepted Christ yet, you need to understand that you are still in bondage to Satan. He still holds you in slavery to sin. The only way for you to be free is to accept the blood of Christ, to wash away your sins, and to free you from that bondage. And if that's where you are this morning and you're ready to make a commitment to follow Christ, to accept the freedom that he has offered to you through his blood, you can do that right now. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make him Lord of your life, to be a slave or a servant of righteousness for him, and call upon him as such. Repent of your sins that are separating you from God and holding you in bondage, and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. We do have water that is ready and prepared. You can't see it right now because it's behind all that, but it is back there and it's ready for you. If you're ready to make that commitment, you can do that right now. We have a song that we're going to sing, and we use that as an invitation song. And anyone who has needs that we can help you with, all you have to do is come up and let me know. Ted is going to be in the back to receive anyone who would like to maybe just have a private prayer or to talk with him back there. He'll be in the back to receive you. And so you have either one of those options. Let's stand together and sing.